Welcome, everyone. We are about to begin with Hashem Feedback and Insights, share number 157. We're going to talk now about 10 reasons why people don't have great relationships. And those very 10 reasons, if we reverse it and make it strong, these are 10 reasons we should actually have a great relationship once we correct these things. And that's a very important thing. We need to understand that many people, the reason why people don't have great relationships is very often is because we don't think about certain things a certain way, and we don't bother to look at things the healthy way. And most of us are like that, including yours truly, before knowing about all this and deciding to really put effort into it. And once you do, these things are corrected. So the one reason number one, this is brought down at the end of the book, The 7 Levels of Intimacy by Matthew Kelly. There's a lot of wisdom in this book, and some of the previous shurim is based on this book, and this is towards the end of this book. Reason number one is that they don't establish a common purpose. The way he explains it is that most people meet someone, become infatuated, fall in love, date, marry, but without ever taking time to discuss or to explore the purpose of their relationship. Why are they together? Besides, chemistry, and I know you're me and I'm you and all that. What happens is, though, very shortly afterwards, they become disoriented about their relationship, going back and forth, conflicting individual egos clashing, conflicting and competing individual desires clashing, because they never, ever thought at all about their essential purpose. Why are they together? And our essential purpose is the foundation upon we build a life filled with passion and purpose. And what is that passion and purpose? We're going to explain in a minute what he says. But Rav Pam used to talk to us, Bachram, about this. You know, he didn't say this part, what I'm going to say in the moment where a boy meets a girl and it seems to be going well. They're ready the second date, third date. They're very excited. There's clearly chemistry and they're, you know. But Rav Pam used to warn us and tell us, what is your tachlis? At some point, you need to, when engaging in conversation in the dating process, not necessarily the first 2-3 dates where you're just trying to see if you could you know, simply converse and click and get all the other things out of the way. You know, this is a very important thing too. Once you're satisfied with each other, that you look, that this is a person that I could marry and that's not an issue and I like the way they look or even love the way they look, then it's time to not get obsessed with that part of it. Just move it aside and say, okay, now let's get to what the tachlis is. And Rav Pam says a lot of dating could have so much more clarity, so much less confusion, less agmas nefesh. If you just think a little bit, how do you want a family to be established? What is your goal in the relationship? What is your tachlis in how you want to build a bayis neman b'Yisrael? And you have that mindset when you're entering dating to begin with. And in the dating process, it changes everything. And like I said, that doesn't mean date number one or even two or possibly even three, you have to right away jump into the heart of real serious questions immediately. So he wasn't saying that. Although with some people it fits and they're comfortable with that, then they do that. But a lot of times they're not. They have to sort of first warm up to each other, so to speak. And if it's already clicking and it's moving and it's going well, then you don't just keep on going with the feeling, oh, this is going wonderful, let's just go with the course of things. No. Rav Pam made it very clear. You need to understand your common purpose. Do you share a vision? It doesn't have to be exact. You could be even very different personalities. And even different in certain ways in Ashkafa. It doesn't have to be perfectly aligned. But it has to be more or less in general, in a serious way, aligned. Yes, because you're building a family together. There has to be enough common ground in a serious way. And just because you love the way the person looks or their personality and there's infatuation and you're excited and thrilled and there's goosebumps going up and down your spine or whatever it is, that's not going to do it. that's going to eventually wane, and you're left with, okay, so why did I marry this person? So that's very important. Rapam used to tell us that often. Never keep your mind off that purpose. Why you're dating? Why you're marrying this person? What do both of you want to see in a home? What do they want, both of them, what Shabbos to look like? What would they want in theory, how they're to be mechanech children? What would be your main focus and your main goal pertaining to that? That's what's discussed. Even in date one and date two, where you may not be talking about these things yet, but the tone of the conversations and the tone of it needs to be leading in that direction of a purpose. What is really the purpose at all in life? Why are we here? It's very simple. To bring and to become the best versions of the best version of yourself. Shleimus. He says it here. It's fascinating, you know. Chachma b'goyim tamid, right? If you say this Torah in b'goyim, don't believe it. But if there's wisdom, believe it. This is wisdom. You're here to become the best version of yourself. Truth is, this particular rayon is Torah. The Maharal says it openly, bringing down the Gemara by Rabbi Akiva and Turnus Rufus, their debate, where, he asked him, what's better, bread or wheat stalks? And Rabbi Akiva said, bread. And Turnus Rufus said, but then you God created you uncircumcised and you're fixing it by being circumcised. That's why he answered bread. Because what he's trying to say is, God created the wheat, but we have to perfect it and make it into bread. God created us uncircumcised, but the bris milah perfects us. The best version of ourselves, to bring out our potential. And truth is, it does not matter whether the relationship is between a husband and wife, parent and child, friend to friend, neighbor to neighbor, whatever it is. The first purpose, the first obligation, the first responsibility of any relationship is to help each other achieve our essential purpose. And what is our essential purpose? For us Jews, it's very simple. The man and the woman, the boy and girl, even as they're dating, or even if they're married and now they want to, they're married many years, it doesn't make a difference. You could be mechadish, renew yourself all the time. You start today, even if you're married many years, of let's get that common goal. And what is the common goal of any marriage? It's within you. It's the Shechina. It's the Yud and the K. The man and the woman both have. He has the Yud. She has the He. They combine. That's the Yud K, which is the Shechina that's within them. That is the common goal. If both of them think to themselves, we may have different personalities. We may ultimately have to agree to disagree, and we're going to be forced to choose one mahalach versus another, even though one of us is not perfectly happy with it. But it's within the common ground of things. What does Hashem want from us? That's why it's so important. When Hashem is there, everything is fine. Then there's shalom. That is the common purpose. If the husband and wife have deep in their hearts that their purpose is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to serve him and do the best you can to bring out the best version in yourself. And over here, it's even further. V'haftarecha kamecha, to the extreme, to the utmost, to bring out the best version of your husband or of your wife. So if the problem is because you don't have a common purpose, then what is the inverse of that? To have a great relationship, establish the common purpose. And that common purpose is a very high common purpose. To serve Hashem, to have a tremendous love and awe and respect for each other at all times, and to have an atmosphere of goodness, of Torah, of mitzvahs, but in a Dorecha Adarchei Noyam way, in a beautiful way, harmony, all types of intimacies, physical, spiritual, emotional, all having a Karas HaTayif Hashem, that is the idea, common purpose. The second reason, he says, why people don't have great relationships is that they don't clearly define what makes a relationship great. Everyone has different views, ideas about what makes a relationship great. So they never find that relationship. They don't recognize it. One person's goal, I want to I want a relationship in a place where the guy makes a lot of parnasa, has a lot of money, and I could afford a huge house and a swimming pool. And the other one may not have those definitions of what the relationship would make great for. They want caring and so on and so forth. Friendship, you know, common mutual interests, whatever they may be. But the idea is, in order to make it great, you have to define what makes it great. And each one of you both need to see it the same way or a very similar way. So, for example, very often, I think it's ideally that in a married couple's life, they both really should commit to each other to be not only to love one another, but to like each other and like each other a lot. A lot of people love each other, but they don't like each other. A lot of people, you know, love their spouses, but they hate them too because they're not friends. They don't like him. They love him, but they don't like him. That's a tragedy. But again, if one of them has deep in their heart that they want at least to try to help, even though we're different, to be or try to be best friends, but the other one says, I don't need my wife as an example on that side. I don't need my wife to be my best friend. I have some male best friends. I need my wife for some warmth, for some support, to help with the house, to have a mutually respectful and loving relationship. But as best friends or as really being, you know, sharing everything and I have other outlets for that. Again, we're talking about kosher outlets now. We're not talking about anything wrong. But again, their visions are very widely different from one another. Right? So they have to talk about that. Sometimes it's okay, actually. Sometimes it's okay, and each one will recognize where the common ground is. But if one really strongly feels, I don't need my spouse to be my best friend, I have other ways to share those type of things, and I just want to have a house of harmony, a purpose, raising kids, yes, loving each other, getting along with each other, but not that we are have that deep friendship type of thing, and the other one wants it desperately, then it may not be the right shidduch. Because they're totally in different planets on how they want the relationship to be. So that's number two. Define what makes the relationship great. For many people, it's the great friendship. For others, it's something else. And make sure that definition is close enough. It never is going to be exact. There will be differences, but at least a common ground. There needs to be a like when you have two circles intertwining with one another, there needs to be a space, a big space, in those two circles where both circles are, you know, it covers both of them. They're in that territory. Reason number three why people don't have great relationships is that they constantly make it a moving target. There's no plan and no purpose. It constantly moves. When this, we're going to make a relationship to the point we're going to be work together to make ourselves financially stable. You're financially stable, then it moves to something else. I want this. And then, you mean you move the goalposts all the time. It's an aspect of sort of mi sheyesh loy mona, right to Messiah. You'll never be happy. You'll always be dissatisfied if you constantly keep the moving target. Oh, I want to accomplish this in our marriage. You accomplish this, you got there. Then it's fine to want to improve further, but if it's because of a dissatisfaction, then you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't hit a moving target. And therefore, you have to look at the big picture and see what everything is, not be disoriented, have a common agreed plan and purpose. Otherwise, everything becomes a moving target. You can't constantly have the relationship change. It's only a good relationship if this happens. If this happens, it's not. You can't go through life that way. So it can't be a constant moving target. That is reason number three. And to have a healthy relationship is you agree on a plan to establish a great relationship, and that's a goal. Now, when you reach that goal and you want to go further to improve, that's a good thing. But to constantly shift it where your husband and wife, you tell them one day you want this expectation and the next day you want some totally different expectation, and they get all confused. You need to simplify it on common goals of what your realistic expectations are and goals are without constantly moving the target all over the place. then you'll have a yishav adas and a calmness to let it go through and work with each other in a beautiful way in order to make your marriage the greatest possible marriage. Bracha v'atzlacha.